Okay, today's daf is Zvachim Daf Samach Beis. We are holding on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph at the very top. We were discussing yesterday the difference between the Mizbeach in the first Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach in the second Beis HaMikdash, in that they needed to add more space on the Mizbeach because the last thing we mentioned was that they needed to add more space because they had the Esh Min HaShemayim to help them out. When the first Beis HaMikdash was around and the Esh Min HaShemayim was able to burn many more Karbanos much more quickly than a normal fire would, but in the second Beis HaMikdash they had to use regular fire, and regular fire doesn't burn nearly as quickly, so they needed more space in order to burn all the Karbanos, even though there were so many fewer people during the second Beis HaMikdash than there were during the first Beis HaMikdash. Very few people came back with Ezra after Galus Bavel. So it was, nevertheless, the fire was so much weaker, they needed more space on the Mizbeach. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Lav Hainu D'Tanya. So Rav Yosef basically is going to say, no, there's another reason why the Mizbeach had to be bigger during the second Beis HaMikdash. Nothing to do necessarily with the fire not coming from Shemayim. Now, Rashi relates Rav Yosef's change of heart over here to Rav Yosef's general condition. Rashi writes, Rav Yosef chala v'ne'ekar limuda. Rav Yosef got sick and he lost a lot of his learning. Sometimes he would say something and he would remember that he himself had taught the exact opposite. And then he changed his mind. Now over here also he's doing that. He's saying, how can I have said before that it's because of the Esh Min HaShemayim? There's another more fundamental reason that they had a larger Mizbeach. That's why you have throughout Shas, Abaye is very often following Rav Yosef around and always asking him, but Rebbe, didn't you teach this? He doesn't generally ask him just stam questions. He asks him, didn't you teach otherwise? Because Abaye was the Talmud who remembered all of Rav Yosef's Torah, and he would remind him that that he taught all these different ideas that were contradicting what he was teaching in his old age after he had gotten sick. That's what I heard from my friend once. I forgot who he said in the name of. That's the pshat at the Gemara at the end of Sota, when the Gemara says Mishames Rebbe Batla Anava, and when Rebbe died, Anivus was gone. So the Gemara says Am Rav Yosef Al Tisni Al Nava Toyika Ana. Don't say Anava is gone because I'm still here. So I heard from my friend once that what Rav Yosef was referring to was his own condition, that the definition of Anivus is to recognize that yes, we might have a significant amount of intelligence, we might have a significant amount of brachos, but we should realize they're all brachos from Hashem, and Hashem nasan v'Hashem lakach, that's not what we do, those are the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. So Rav Yosef says, don't say Anav, and not because I'm so humble, but that Da'ika Anav, as long as I'm around, that people can see me, and people can see how you could be from the Gedoli Amorayim, and lose it all, by no fault of your own, just because he got sick, just because Hashem decided, Hashem nasan Hashem lakach, Hashem gave us this incredible intelligence to be from the Gedoli Amorayim, and then he took it away. So that itself should serve as the example of Anivus for everybody else, and therefore as long as I'm around, Anivus can't be gone. That's a reference to this machla that Rav Yosef had. So anyway, Rav Yosef says, now you know why the Mizbeach had to be larger in the second Beis HaMikdash? Pasuk, so Braisa, Darshan's a Pasuk, Ve'yechinu HaMizbeach al-Mechonosav, She'yigil l'sof midosav, that just at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they figured out just how big you could make a Mizbeach. What does that mean? They just chapped in the second Beis HaMikdash. We have specifications of exactly how big the Mizbeach has to be. Ella Amar Rav Yosef Kra Ashkach V'Darish. No, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they found a pasuk that was written by David HaMelech, and they darshened it, and they realized that it was larger than they thought. Vayomer David Zeu Beis Hashem Elokim V'Zeh Mizbeach Lo'olo Yisrael. So Kibayis Ma Bayis Shishamama Af Mizbeach Shishamama. They realized that the Mizbeach could be just the size of the Bayis, that just like the Beis HaMikdash itself is 60 amos, the Mizbeach could be 60 amos. They were allowed to make the Mizbeach up until the measurement of 60 amos. So that's what they realized, and that's why they were able to make a bigger Mizbeach, not because they needed more room, to burn the fire. So the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Beis Halacha Hei, writes that the midos archo v'rachbo shel mizbech that they made, that the Bnei Gola made, and the midos rachbo v'archo of the mizbech that we're going to have in the third Beis HaMikdash is lamed beis al lamed beis amma, 32 amos by 32 amos. And he writes that the mizbech that the Bnei Gola built is the same size as the mizbech that we're going to build. And he says, "Ve'in lahosif v'lo legroa al midosav." You can't add or subtract from the measurements of that mizbeach. So the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tzadihei Oz Tezvav says he doesn't understand. The Rambam is going against our Gemara. Our Gemara says that you can add up until 60 amos. So the Rambam himself paskins like the Gemara that the midas archo v'rochvo v'kamaso are not ma'akev. Our Gemara is going to soon say, and the Rambam is going to paskin like with the rest of our Gemara. Why does the Rambam assume ein lahosif? You can't add to the 32 amos. Our Gemara is explicit that they could have up until 60 amos. Likutei Halachos, Chavetz Chaim, Likutei Halachos asks the same kasha, and in Likutei Halachos is miyashev that the Rambam paskins this way because he thinks that based on the Gemara's final answer of Rabba Bar Barchan and the name of Rabbi Yochanan, where the Gemara is going to say no, the reason they built a larger mizbeach was because the Nevi'im that came up with them from the Gola were made to them on the size of them, not that they built a larger mizbeach, but that how they figured out the size of the mizbeach was based on what the Nevi'im told them and not based on their own darshaning of psukim. So according to the way the Rambam understands that maskana is that we're going to reject this drasha that equates the mizbeach with the bayis. The idea of a mizbeach being shishim is based on this drasha that says just like the bayis is shishim, so to the mizbeach is shishim. Likutei Halachos says that the Rambam must have understood that later on when the Gemara describes how Nevi'im told them how large the mizbeach should be, is that we're rejecting this drasha. Mikdash David though has what seems like a much sharper teretz. He says that which we darshan that you can add up until shishim amma, he says we had a Gemara a couple of days ago that discusses where exactly in the Azara the mizbeach stood. Was it in the north side, in the middle, in the south? So he says if you say it's in the north or it was in the middle, fine, then you can build a mizbeach up until 60 amos, no problem. But according to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the entire mizbeach was in the south of the Azara, and the Gemara says in Daf Nun Tes, how do I know that it has to be in the south? Because we darshan the pasuk that the tsafo needs to be panui min hakelim u min hamizbeach. That the northern side of the Azara has to be clear, not just from the kelim, but you can't have mizbeach in the north side. So he says, if that's the case, then it's impossible for them to have built a mizbeach that was actually 60 amos. Because if you add to the mizbeach, and they make the mizbeach itself 60 amos, plus you have the kevesh, the ramp of the mizbeach, which is another 30 amos, so you're going to have 90 amos worth of mizbeach. The length of the Azara, of half the Azara, would be 67 and a half amos. So 67, because the length of the entire thing is 135 amos. So you can't have 90 amos all on the south side. By definition, the Mizbeach is going to be encroaching into the northern side, and that you're not allowed to have. That's Mikdash David's teretz. Mikdash David also says another possible teretz, that which Rav Yosef says, that you could be mosif on the Mizbeach until 60 amos, doesn't work according to Rav on Daf Nun Dalid. Rav and Daf Nun Dalid said that the Keren Dromus Mizrachis didn't have a Yesod because in the Chelko Shel Toref, because you have to have the Mizbeach in the Chelko Shel Toref, all had to be in the Chelek of Binyamin, couldn't encroach on the Chelek of Yehuda, or rather, Binyamin was the one that was Zochet to all of it. And if you add on, he does all the math to figure out, if you make the Mizbeach Ravua, if you make it square, and you add on to 60 Amos in both directions, you're going to be in violation of that. You're going to be beyond the Chelko Shel Toref. So it could be that the Rambam just paskin like Rav, that it's got to be in the Chelko Shel Toref, and that's why he doesn't paskin like this member in the Gemara, that it could be up until 60 Amos. Tosos over here raises a different issue. It's hard to get it from Tosos. You really need to look in the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Pei Gimel, but Tosos is bothered that our Gemara seems to be against the Gemara in Chulin Daf Pei Gimel, because the Gemara over there says that when you add Afar to the Mizbeach, it's considered to be Mosif al Binyano, it's considered to be Mosif on the structure of the Mizbeach, and that's Asur to do because of the Pasuk HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alei Askil. And the Gemara therefore says over there that that which the Mishnah says in Chulin, that there's no Kisui Adam, the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, covering up the blood, is not knowing in the Mikdash, because the din of Kisui Adam does not only require that you take dirt and you put it over the blood of the animal that you shechted, of the oaf or the chaya that you shechted, but it also requires a dirt underneath the blood of the animal. So you first put dirt down, then you shech, the blood falls on that dirt, and then you put dirt on top of it. So it would turn out, says the Gemara, that if you put dirt down first, it's going to be mosif onto the mizbeach. So Frektos over here, now we understand the kasha. Frektos v'adam abreish kisei adam kamos v'abinyin. So how could you say that's most of abinyin? I thought you're allowed to ask Tosfos. Our Gemara says you could add on to the mizbeach. There's no problem. The mizbeach could be up until 60 amos. So Tosfos has several terutzim. Number one, hainuk shayam mizbeach ad shishim. Maybe that's talking about where the mizbeach already was 60 amos. If it already was 60 amos, then it's going to be a problem of being mosif al abinyin to go beyond 60 amos. Inami migova parachasam. Or else Tosa says, when it says that you're being mosif abinyin, that's talking about on the height of the mizbeach. And that you're not allowed to add to. We say you're allowed to add to make the mizbeach 60 amos long, 60 amos wide, but not to add to the height of the mizbeach. So that's the problem of mosif abinyin. Inami, another answer Tosa suggests, Paruch kamosif shloye ravua shall come likas hof and yichol sasi safar because sviv of kedev ravu kumishpato. The mizbeach has to be a perfect square. So anytime you add on, even if it's not to the height, even if it's off to the side of the mizbeach, you're going to be ruining the perfect square of the mizbeach, because there's no way every time you do malika on another oaf, you kill another bird for a karban, that you're going to be able to put dirt evenly around on all four sides of the mizbeach to preserve the perfect square. If you try to put dirt for the kisei adam of this oaf, then you would have to compensate on the other side and make it and all around them is to make it a perfect square. That would be impossible. So that's the problem. Not that literally you're being mosif al abinyan. Being mosif al abinyan in terms of size is not a problem, but ruining the dimensions of a square, that's going to be the problem. The Mikdash David has a different teretz to Tosfos Kasha. It says that which we say, that when you put Afar, you're being Mosif al-Binyan, that's talking about you're ruining the Knisas Yesod and the Knisas Sovev. Meaning one thing that we have by every Mizbeach, Mizbeach Moshe, the Mizbeach throughout all the time, the first Bayis, second Bayis HaMikdash, is that you had an Amma of Yesod and an Amma of Soviv. Yesod is actually Machlokas about the Mizbeach of Moshe. But whenever there was a Yesod, it had to be exactly an Amma and then an Amma of Soviv. If you stick dirt onto the, let's say, the 5 Amma high section of the Mizbeach above the Yesod, you stick dirt onto the wall, you are then making the Yesod less than 1 Amma wide because you're building out the wall right above it. And that you're not allowed to do. If you stick dirt on the 3 Ammas above the Soviv, you're ruining the Sovev in that sense. So you'll say, okay, maybe I'll just put it on the Keren. Put it on the Keren. The Keren has to be 1 Amma by 1 Amma. The Keren of Mizbeach are not negotiable. They have to be exactly 1 Amma by 1 Amma. So you can't do that either. So says the Gemara Vayter now. So now that we said that they built 60 Amos by 60 Amos, they realize that they can build a Mizbeach up until 60 Amos by 60 Amos in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, Machlokas, whether they actually did or not, but says Gemara, Bishlam Abayis Minkaratsuraso, El Mizbeach Minayadi. I understand very well the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash they could figure out, because they could probably see the imprint in the ground from the original structure, from the original lines are marked off, and they could figure out exactly what belongs where. But what about the Mizbeach? How are they going to know where the Mizbeach belongs, or how did they know? So Rav Lazar ra'u Mizbeach banui, u'michal hasar hagadol omeru makrav alav. Unbelievable, they saw a prophetic vision. They saw as if there was a Mizbeach there, and Michael, the Malach, Michael, standing by the Mizbeach and being makrav on it. Marsha points out that this relates to the idea that there's Yerushalayim shel ma'ala that is parallel to the Yerushalayim shel mata. So they got to to get a glimpse of the Yerushalayim Shalmala, and that's what that was Michal's day serving, I guess, as the Kohen in the Yerushalayim Shalmala, and that's how they were able to figure out exactly where the Mizbeach belongs in the Yerushalayim Shalmata. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, Afaro Shal Yitzchak Rav Shemunach Ba'al Samakam. They saw the ashes of Yitzchak in that place, on that location. Again, must have been a prophetic vision. They saw the ashes of Yitzchak. There's no way the ashes probably could have stayed there, besides for what exactly are the ashes of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, if you recall, at the end of the story, was not actually slaughtered and burnt on the Mizbeach. So what exactly does it mean, the ashes of Yitzchak, is a discussion in the Achronim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that it means the Efer that came from the Maisa Kedas Yitzchak, from the burning of the Eitzim of the wood and the Ayil that they used instead of Yitzchak. Marsha in Brachos Samach Bezim Bey says it's the Efer Aseh that was brought Tachas Yitzchak. The Shibalei Aleket, however, says in the name of the Medrash Agada that when Yitzchak was Nekad on the Mizbeach, he was actually burnt, and his ashes were thrown all over Har Moriah, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a tel shel tchia v'hichya osa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a tchias ha-mesim on him. There's such a medrash, and the Malach Hashari said Baruch Ata Hashem Chai ha-mesim. So somehow there was some deshen, there was some ashes that may have been left over there. That's the more I guess out of left field kind of shita. But the bottom line is that that's what they saw. They either saw some prophetic vision of the ashes of Akedas Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar Mikala Bayis Kulo Richu Reich Ktaras Mishami Richu Reich Evarim. They just smelled. They did it by smell. The whole area of the Beis Hamikdash, it smelled like Ketores. In the area of the Mizbeach, it smelled like Evarim. It smelled like burning Evarim of Karbanos. So they realized that must be the Makom of the Mizbeach. One of these miraculous things happened in order for them to be able to figure it out. Now, the Chasdei Avos, the quotes in the Yalkut Biurim in the Masifta. I just bought the Masifta for the first time. So he quotes from the Sefer Chasdei Avos, who has the following kasha. He says, why couldn't they figure out where the Mizbeach was based on the very last thing we said in yesterday's daf, which is that although there are tunnels underneath the entire Beis HaMikdash, in order to save Mitumas HaTahom, they would create these artificial Ahalim underground, so that in case there's Tumah way underneath, you'd have an Ohel that would be mafsik the Tumah. It would never go all the way up to the Beis HaMikdash. By the Mizbeach, part of the din of it being Mizbeach Adama was that you couldn't have, the last thing we said, yeah, it was that it can't be built al gabe mechilos. It can't be built over any sort of tunnels or anything or any openings of an Ohel under any cavities that are underneath the ground. So why couldn't they just check based on that? Why couldn't they check for the area of the Mizbeach based on where there was ground that was completely closed up? So the Chasdei Avos says, based on our Gemara, that the Mizbeach was up until 60 Amos, and that Shlomo didn't know this drasha, right? Rashi says Shlomo didn't know this drasha, and therefore Shlomo only built a Mizbeach that was 28 Amos by 28 Amos, but David knew this drasha. So since David was Mekadesh the Ritzvah Hazara, so he left 60 Amos without any tunnels or anything underneath it. So they had no idea where the Mizbeach was b'meduyak in the times of Shlomo, because they had a 60 Amma by 60 Amma area, but Shlomo's Mizbeach was way smaller. Now the Mishnah LeMelech in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel has a suffix if the Kevesh, if the ramp also has the din of the Mizbeach in regards to the Isser of building Mechilos underneath the Mizbeach, of building tunnels under or having tunnels underneath the Mizbeach. So the fee that said that it's Usser to build the ramp over the Mechilos, so it was actually 90 Amos that were left closed off, and then there was no way they were going to know, they were going to be able to figure out exactly the makom of the Mizbeach. So that's how the Chasdei David says. The happens to be Chasdei David doesn't like the Mishnah LeMelech. He has a kasha on the Mishnah LeMelech because then they should have been able to be makir with the makom of the Mizbeach, and what is that? That which he assumes that underneath the Mizbeach was Atum below Chalul, and that's the Shita of the Mishnah LeMelech, that underneath the entire Mizbeach there were no tunnels. So the Chasdei David is on the Tosefta in Sanhedrin, wonders about the Mishnah LeMelech, that if that's the case, meaning the same kasha we just asked before, if that's the case, then they should have been able to be makir where the makom of the Mizbeach was, and therefore he's cholik, and he says that the Isser Yetzer of the Mechilos was not Tachas Mizbeach, Mechilos Tachas Mizbeach was only Tachas of Mamish, and was not all the way in the depths of the Karka. It was only on that surface level beneath. It wasn't all the way down. And therefore, they couldn't know where the Makom of the Mizbeach was, because it could be that under the entire Harabayas, it was way underneath that all the tunnels existed. The second possible approach as to why it is that they couldn't just tell based on the tunnels alone. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabba Barchan Amar Biyochanan. Shlosh Neviim Alu Imam Min Agola. Echot Sheil Dem Al Mizbeach. Three Neviim came with them from the Galus. One of them was made for them where the Mizbeach was. Ve'echot Sheil Dem Al Makom HaMizbeach. Ve'echot Sheil Dem Al Makom HaMizbeach. One of them was made about the Mizbeach itself. One about the location of the Mizbeach. Ve'echot Sheil Dem Shemakriv Naf Bishein Bayis. And one that they could be makriv even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. V'masnisa Tana, Rav Loz Ben Yaakov Omer, Shlosh Neviim Alu Imam Min Agola, that it was three Neviim that came and taught them not exactly the breakdown like we just had, but rather Echot Sheilem Al Mizbeach Ve'al Makom HaMizbeach, one that was made both on the Mizbeach and what it looked like, and on the Makom of the Mizbeach, the location of the Mizbeach. Ve'echot Sheilem Shemakriv Naf Pishein Bayis, and one to be made that you could be makriv even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. And now you had an extra Navi, an extra Nevuah. Ve'echot Sheilem Al HaTorah Shatikasev Ashuris, and one was made on them that for them that the Torah should be written in Ksav Ashuris, that they shouldn't use Ksav Ivri, that it should be written in Ksav Ashuris. So that itself is a very interesting idea, that the Torah should be written in Ksav Ashuris. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says on Daf Chaf Aleph that Betchila Nitna Torah Yisrael B'Ksav Ivri V'Loshna Kodesh. Initially, the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael B'Ksav Ivri and Loshna Kodesh, and then during the days of Ezra, it changed into Ksav Ashuris V'Loshna Rami, and it's called Ashuris because that's the Ksav that they brought with them from Eretz Ashur. So that's where we got the name Ksav Ashuris. So the type that we use, the font that we use in writing Sifrei Torah, is Ksav Ashuris, which was not the original font that the Sefer Torah was given in. It was not the original that the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us was given in. It was originally given in Ksav Ivri. So the Rishonim have a very hard time with this. The Ritva Maseches Megillah Daf Beis Amud Beis says, how is that possible? How could you say that the Ksav, with all every coats for coats, every crown that we have on tops of the letters, where the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was able to darshan tilei tilim shel halachos, he was able to darshan bundles of halachos that are yesodos of all of Torah, and it's called ksav ashur shemu usharis b'ksav, it's the finest ksav, that was the ksav of the Bnei Ashur, and the luchos were written in some other ksav. And furthermore, if the luchos were written in ksav ivri, why does the Gemara Maseches Megillah say that the mem and samach shabaluchos b'nei sayu omdin? We said the luchos were totally carved out through and through, right? It wasn't just engraved, but it was the letters were totally carved out. So the Gemara says, well, the mem sofis and the samach, how do they stand if there's got to be a hole in the middle? What do you do with the donut hole, right? How does it stand? So the Gemara says, ah, it's a miracle that it was able to stand. But based on our knowledge of ksav ivri, the Radvaz writes in the tshuva, others write the Radvaz in Chelek Gimel Siman Taf Mem Beis, says based on our knowledge of ksav ivri, there was not the mem and the samach didn't actually have a hole in them. So how could the Gemara say that the luchos were b'nei sayom din, and the Gemara is going to assume that it was ksav ivri, and ksav ivri didn't need a nes to be omade. So very, very difficult to understand exactly what's going on. So the Ritva writes that without a doubt the luchos were written b'ksav ashuris. It was just because that ksav was so kadosh, they didn't use that ksav when they went on, when as Klal Yisrael continued, even in the svarim that they would then write. But the luchos were certainly in the ksav ashuris, and certainly whatever svarim person would write for himself, it was such a kadosh ksav they wouldn't use it. They instead used ksav ivri, and to the point that they even forgot ksav ashuris when they went to galus and Ashur. It was somehow revealed to the Bnei Ashur exactly how to write the ksav ashuris, and they didn't want to repeat the same mistake twice. So they decided, we're not going to let ksav ashuris fall into disuse because then we're going to lose it again. So in order to preserve the ksav ashuris, they brought it back. But not chas v'shalom that this ksav originated in Ashur. No, this ksav is kodesh kodashim. It's a very holy ksav, and it's the ksav of the original luchos. The Rambam writes that in Pirushim Mishnayos and Maseches Yadayim that it was B'Ksav Ashurus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah. The Maral in Chidush Agados to Sanhedrin says that that when Moshe only received the Torah b'dibor v'lo b'ksav, and it's only Moshe is referred to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He was our teacher. He orally taught us the Torah. However, Ezra is called Ezra HaSofer. He was mechadish the idea of writing it down, in ksav mu'ushar. That was when the Torah was first given over in ksav to darshan called tag v'tag. Now, what the Maral means is not that there was never writing down of a Sefer Torah from the times of Moshe. There was, but the written form of the Torah didn't add anything to how you could say it over, meaning all the words that you would say were just recorded in written form, the way the English language works, that everything I am saying right now you could write down and get the exact idea from the writing. The idea of darshaning the tagim, the tilei tilim shel halachos, that's something that was not yet mischadish in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That perhaps could explain why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get it when he saw that Rabbi Akiva was darshaning the crowns on the tops of the letters. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand that, the Gemara says. He didn't know those drushes of the crowns on tops of the letters. And that could be because in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, the way the Maral understands it, the ksav that they used was just a reflection of what you can speak, of what you can say. But it wasn't anything beyond that. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, Keren V'Kevesh V'Yesod, two second wide line. Keren V'Kevesh V'Yesod V'Ribua Ma'akvin. The parts of the Mizbeach that are absolutely Ma'akev are the Karnos HaMizbeach on the four corners, the Kevesh, the ramp of the Mizbeach, the Yesod of the Mizbeach, and the Rivua, the square shape of the Mizbeach. That's Ma'akev. But Midas Arko, Midas Rach, but Midas Kamaso ain't Ma'akvin. The exact length, the exact width, the exact height, that's not Ma'akev. That we're not going to be so worried about. So how do I know that this is true? Amar Avuna, Amar Kra, Hamizbeach. Kol Makom Shnemer, Hamizbeach La'akev. Wherever the word Hamizbeach is used, that's always to teach us that it didn't is Ma'akev. Ela Me'ata, Kiyur L'Rebbe, V'Sovev, L'Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Hachinamid Ma'akev. If every time the word Hamizbeach is used, then the Kiyur, now not to be confused with the Kiyar, the Kiyur, which is the design that they made on the outside of the Mizbeach, on the outside surface of the Mizbeach, according to Rebbe. And the Sovev, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, should also be Ma'akev, because there is a Pasuk that says the word HaMizbeach, where the subject of the Pasuk is a Machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rebbe holds the subject of that Pasuk is the Kiyur, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's the Sovev. But either way, whichever one you want to hold, that item should be Ma'akev, according to each of those Shitos. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'nasata osa tachas, Karkuv HaMizbeach Milamata. It talks about the Karkuv HaMizbeach and says the word HaMizbeach. So what is the Karkuv? V'tanya izu Karkuv. Rabbi Omer Zakiur. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yud Omer Zasovev. So Machlokas Tanoim, what it's referring to. But whatever it's referring to, it should be Ma'akev. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Says Gemara in. Enochinami, you're right. It is Ma'akev. V'tanya. Osa Yom Nifkum Akeren Mizbeach. The Gemara Masech HaSukkah tells a wild story that sometimes you had Kohanim who were Tzdukim, who would do all sorts of things that were against the Torah Shebal Peh in their avoda, and you had a Kohen who, when he did the Nisach HaMayim, was Menasech Al Gabe Raglav. He didn't do the Nisach HaMayim properly, and it was Sukkis. Nisach HaMayim was done on Sukkis. Everyone had their Estrogim with them, and they figured he's doing something wrong. So they all took their Estrogim and they pelted him with their Estrogim. They stoned him with their Estrogim. Now they inadvertently also knocked off a little chip of the Mizbeach. They chipped the Mizbeach by throwing their estrogim at him. So osa yom nifkuma keren mizbeach. The keren of the mizbeach got chipped. So v'yiviu bul shel melech v'sasmu. So they brought a clump of salt and they closed in that chaser from the mizbeach. V'lo mipnei shekasha l'avoda. Now you shouldn't think that putting in a thing of salt makes the mizbeach kasha l'avoda. It happens to not make it kasha l'avoda. Elo shel yir mizbeach pagum. They just didn't want the mizbeach to look pagum. Shekal mizbeach shein lo keren v'kevesh v'yisod v'rivua pasul. Because any mizbeach that doesn't have a keren, kevesh, yisod, or rivua is pasul. Now here's the key, this is why we're quoting this whole brisa. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Domer, Afasovev. That even if a Mizbeach doesn't have a Sovev, it's also pasul. Why? Because he understands Karkov means Sovev. The word Hamizbeach appears in the pasuk of Karkov. So he's going to say the Sovev is also Ma'akev. Now, if Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah says the Sovev is Ma'akev, it stands to reason that Rebbe will say that the Kiyur is Ma'akev, because that's how he understands the word Karkov. Rashi says that, Rashi points that out explicitly, that based on Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah Shita, that the Sovev is Ma'akev, so you can tell that Rebbe would hold the Kiyur is Ma'akev and Mizbeach as well. The Aruch L'Ner, Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Tesem Aleph, and the Sfasemes write that the Rambam has a strange comment. The Rambam, Beis HaBechira, Perek Beis HaLach Yud Zayin, lists off the things that are Ma'akev the Mizbeach, and he doesn't mention the Sovev nor the Kiyur. Now, according to our Gemara, one or the other. You're going to pass like Rebbe, it's going to be the Kiyur. You're going to pass like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, it's going to be the Sovev. Why would the Rambam not mention either one of them? And the Achronim point out, from the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention the din of the Karkov at all in his halachos, sounds like he holds like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah that is the Sovev, because the Rambam discusses the Sovev in his halachos. He never discusses the Kiyur, he discusses the Sovev, he never uses the word Karkov, so it must be that he holds like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah. And yet, he doesn't say that it's Ma'akev. And the Rambam writes La Halacha, the Mara Kohen on Tosfos Dibur Maskal Af says the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention the Sovev as being Ma'akev must mean that he holds like Rebbe that the Sovev is not Ma'akev. But then why wouldn't he say that the Kiyur is Ma'akev? So very strange, very difficult to understand the Rambam. The Aruch L'Ner says that the Rambam paskins like Rebbe, that the Karkov is the Kiyur, and that we have a klal that Halacha K'Rebbe Mechavero, and that's why the Rambam paskins like Rebbe. However, since the Tzura of the Mizbeach and the Beis Olam that's described in Yecheskel, the ultimate Beis HaMikdash, doesn't mention the Karkov at all, it only mentions the Sovev, maybe the Rambam holds, like Rebbe, that the Kiyur was Ma'akev when you had a Kiyur, but in the ultimate Mizbeach, which the Rambam is writing about, the Mizbeach Las Lavo is not going to have a Kiyur, so maybe it was only Ma'akev by the Mishkan, maybe it's not a Din L'Doros that the Kiyur is Ma'akev, maybe that's why the Rambam doesn't write it. The Rambam only writes the Allah on the Mizbeach that are noheg l'doros. Maybe that's why the Rambam leaves it out. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Tan Rabban Ezu Karkuv. What is the Karkuv? Ben Keren the Keren Makom Hiluch Raglei Akwanim Amma. So the Brisa says that on top of the Mizbeach was the Karkuv. It was an area where the Kohanim could walk between the Kronos and the Mizbeach that was one Amma wide. So Ato Akwanim Ben Keren the Keren Avu Azli. No, wait a second. The Kohanim didn't walk between the Kronos and the Mizbeach, because if they did, then they would stub their toe on the Kronos and the Mizbeach. They would never be able to get around, because they would hit the Kronos and the Mizbeach, then they wouldn't be able to walk anymore. Ela'ema Umakom Hiluch Raglei Akwanim Amma. No, what it means to say is that just inside of the Kronos, between the Kronos, and then another Amma inside of the Kronos, was an area called the Karkuv HaMizbeach, where the Kohanim could walk around. But didn't it sound like the Karkuv HaMizbeach was on the wall of the Mizbeach, not on the top surface of the Mizbeach? So Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Trehavu, Chad L'Noi V'Chad L'Kohanim D'Olim Nistarku. There were actually two Karkuvs. One was a design on the side of the Mizbeach, and one was an area where the Kohanim, that was built a slight indentation that was built for the Kohanim on top of the Mizbeach, that they shouldn't slip off the Mizbeach. Midas Arko, Midas Rachma, Midas Kamaso Ein Ma'akvin. So we said the height, the width, the length of the Mizbeach is not Ma'akev. As long as you don't make it any smaller than the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Kama, how big was that? Amar Rav Yosef Amma, that was one Amma, the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Machwalei, so they laughed at Rav Yosef. Chamesh Amas Arach v'Chamesh Amas Rochav Ravua Yia Mizbeach, that it says in the pasuk that it was 5 by 5 Amos. A little difficult to understand over here. Did they assume that Rav Yosef forgot even that? That when Rav Yosef forgot his learning, he forgot the psukim? And if they assumed he forgot it, why would they laugh at him? So, but anyway, they said, how could you mess up on a pasuk? Pasuk says it was 5 by 5 Amos, and yet you're saying it was only one Amma. So again, who comes to defend Rav Yosef? It's Abaye who comes to defend Rav Yosef. Abaye was the Talmud. So Amalei Abaye, Dilma Makom Ha'aracha Kamar Mar. Probably what Rebbe meant was what Rav Yosef meant was the Makom Ha'aracha, the place where they would actually have a fire going. Remember, they had Kranos HaMizbeach, and then they needed another Amma for the Kranim to walk around. So if the whole thing is five Amos, and you take away an Amma for the Kranos on each side, and then another Amma on each side for the Kranim to walk around, so then you're left with one Amma in the middle. So maybe that's what Rav Yosef meant when he said that it's only one Amma. Amar Leis, so Rav Yosef said, Mar de Gavar Rabu Hu Yada Mai Kamina. Abaye, you're a good Talmud. You're a Talmud Chacham. You understand exactly what I meant. You knew what I was talking about. Kari Alayu, but Rav Yosef referred to the other guys who go unnamed in our Gemara, just the Machku Alei, the laughers, the mockers. He called them B'nai Keturah. He referred to them as B'nai Keturah. So the Karen Ora wonders, why B'nai Keturah, of all the things to call them? So he quotes a Medrash HaNe'alam, which is a Zohar, really, that the name Avraham is Mora on the Koach of the Neshama and the Das and the Seichel HaEmes, the ability to intellectually know the truth. And the idea is, according to this Medrash, that the Toldos of Avraham is the understanding of Torah and Mitzvos Be'emes La Mito. And any sort of toldos that are not al derech zed, that are not al derech ha'emes and a seichel, that's what we refer to as the B'nai Keturah. Ki bi Yitzchak yikari l'chazera, the real toldos of Avram Avinu is only the emes, is only those who are able to understand the Torah in an emesic way. But anything else is called the B'nai Keturah. So he refers to them as B'nai Keturah because they were far from the emes in understanding his kavanos, in understanding what he meant. So that's why he refers to them as the B'nai Keturah. That's what the Karen Ora says. Anyway, on the idea of B'nai Keturah, B'nai Achtei D'Rabbi Tarfon, Aviyasu Kamei D'Rabbi Tarfon, the nephews of Rabbi Tarfon, were sitting in front of Rabbi Tarfon. Pasuk V'yamar, Rabbi Tarfon started by saying the following Pasuk. V'yosef Avram v'yikach isha u'shmo Yochani. Avram added another wife and her name was Yochani. So Amri Leh, so the nephew said, Keturah Ksiv, what do you mean? That's not the Pasuk. Pasuk says Shmo Keturah. It doesn't say Shmo Yochani. So Kari Aleim B'nai Keturah, he says, aha, you're all B'nai Keturah. So what exactly is going on in that conversation is somewhat difficult to understand. Marsham explains that Keturah is, that the Pasuk says that, Rashi and Chumash rather, says that Keturah is a reference to Hagar. Why is she called Keturah? Because Ma'aseha Na'im Keturah. She had such fine deeds, it was as pleasant as the Keturah. And Marsham points out, it's Mefurish in the Pasuk in Bereishis Perek Chaval of Pasuk Yudalid, Vateilach Vatisa B'midbar Be'er Sheva, and Rashi over there says, Shechazra Legilule Be'savia. She went back to the Avodah Zarah ways of her father's house. So how can on the one hand Rashi say that her Ma'aseha Na'im Keturah, and on the other hand say she went back to the Gilule Be'savia? So he explains that based on the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Mishnah in Shabbos says that the parah of Rablozer ben Azariah was Yotzei Beretzua Shaben Kraneha, would go out on Shabbos with the strap between its horns. So the Gemara over there says, no, not that it was Rablozer ben Azariah's parah, it was his neighbor's parah, but because Rablozer ben Azariah never made a macha, never said anything about it, we refer to it as his own parah. So that's what the Marsham says. That must be what Rashi means when it says Chazru Legilule Besavia. No, her own Maisim were na Kiketores. Chazru Legilule Besavia means she didn't do anything to stop it. She didn't try to, she never made a macha. That's what it means. So the Medrash says, Tamin Amrin Shila Chata V'yochana Mishtalma, that we have an expression that Shila Chata, someone named Shila could do an Avera, and Yochana is going to pay for it, for not making a Macha on the Avera. That's the name that we use. Yochana is going to be the one to pay. That's the way the expression goes, according to the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah. So it could be that's exactly what Rabbi Tarfon was saying. Rabbi Tarfon said, and when he said the name Keturah, he said Yochani. Why Yochani? Because that's the name of the one who pays for other people's averos. So that's what he was referring to. So they said, Keturah's Ksiv. He says, no, you guys are all B'nai Keturah. Keturah means Na'a Kiketores. Yes, you're all B'nai Keturah. You're all Na'a Kiketores. But she is called Keturah also, but she's Yochana on a certain level as well, because she was Chazra Legilul Beisavia in the sense that she never made a machala on it. Beautiful pshat of the Marsham. So anyway, it says in Maravaita, Amar Abaye Bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Gezirin Shas Asa Moshe, the blocks of wood that Moshe Rabbeinu made, Orchon Amah V'Rok Van Amah V'Ovion Kemechon Kodesh Sa, they were one amah wide, one amah long, and they the width was the very narrow, the size of the utensil that they would use to even out a heaping sa'a. They would use a leveler to, if they had a heaping sa'a of flour, let's say, so it was a heaping pile, they would even it out with some type of leveler. That's how wide this was. Amar B'Yirmiyah Ba'amah G'dumah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says the amah we're talking about was a little bit smaller than a regular amah. They wouldn't make it a regular size amah. Amar Rav Yosef La'afayinu D'tanya Al-Yitzim Asher Al-Eish Shalom Mizbech Shalom Yitzim Yosem Min HaMizbech Chlum. Why would they have to make it an amah G'dumah? They could have made it exactly an amah. The only key was that the wood shouldn't protrude outside of the area of the Mizbech. If it's an amah, that should be fine. It will not protrude outside the area of the Mizbech. The ramp was to the south of the Mizbeach. It was 32 amos long, 16 amos wide. Minani mili, how do I know that's true? Amar of Unam Akra, how do I know that it was on the south side of the Mizbeach? Because the Pasuk says, it refers to the Yerach HaMizbeach, as if it's the legs of the Mizbeach, as if the Mizbeach were lying down. So the Yerach was in the Tzafon, and the Pan of the face of the Mizbeach was in the Durham. The face is a reference to the side that you go up the Mizbeach, the ramp of the Mizbeach. Ema Yerach B'Tzafon upon of B'Tzafon. But how do you know that that's what it means, that the legs and the face are on different sides from each other? Maybe they're both on the north. Amarava Rami Gavra Ape. We view it as if it's a person lying down. And when a person's lying on his face, his legs are on one side and the face is on the other side. Amle Abaye Adraba Tritzvosev Gavra. Why don't you view it as a person sitting up, where his face and his legs are facing the same way? So when it calls the legs of the Mizbeach in the north, maybe the face of the Mizbeach is also in the north. Amle Ravua Ksiv. It says it's supposed to be Ravua. So Vamibai laid the Merava Ravue, but we already use Ravua to teach me that it's supposed to be square, not that that it can't be like a person sitting up. So Miksiv Meruba doesn't say Meruba. So the Tameich Miksiv Ravutz, yeah, but according to you, that it has to be something that's lying down. Does it say Ravutz? Amle Ravua Ksiv the Mashmachi Mashmachi. That's why it says Ravua, to teach me both dinim, to teach me that it has to be square, and also that we view it as if it's a person lying down, not like a person sitting up. V'tana Meisila Mehacha, and we have a Tana that brought the idea of where the placement of the kevesh was from here. Detanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Uma Aloseu Pinos Kadim Kol Pinos Atapon Lo Yuel Derech Yemin Lemizrach. Wherever you turn, always has to be to the right, to the east. You can only turn to the right, to the east, if you're coming from the south, right, going heading northward. So Uma Ema Small Lemizrach. Who says to the right? Maybe it means to the left, to the east. Lo Sal Kadaitoch Detani Rami Bar. What's the guess of the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel? Yam Shas Shlomo Omid Ashnei Mesrei Amudim Bakar Shlosh Uponim Tzafonim Shlosh Uponim Yam Shlosh Uponim Negba Shlosh Uponim Mizracha Kol Pinosh Atuponim Lo Yuel Derech Yimin LeMizrach. The way it describes Yam Shas Shlomo teaches us that wherever you're turning, it always has to be toward the right, toward the east. Homi by Leil Gufei, but maybe that pasuk is not teaching me for all of Torah; it's just teaching me what the Yam Shas Shlomo looked like. Im Kein Ponim Ponim Lamali. Why does it have to keep saying that it was Ponim? That it was Pona, that it turned and turned. They didn't need to keep on saying that. The fact that it keeps on saying that must be telling me a klal that Kalpina Shatapona is Derech Yemin LeMizrach. Okay, a little behind. We'll try to catch up tomorrow.